Hello, welcome to the Voice of Hope podcast. Today, we have a special presentation from the Heralds of Hope Strategic Partner Breakfast. Listen along as Nathaniel Gingrich presents Avoda, Work, Worship, Service.
So God calls us all to different places, and what I'm going to talk about today is something I really hope is not a new concept. I am not bringing anything new here today. At least I hope not. Rather, I want it just to be an encouragement. It's a thought or a process of thinking, you know, that's been informative and influential in my life. And I just, my goal is here that we can be encouraged in our service and work for God. So Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? Disciples of Jesus are followers of the way. They've sought out the truth, and they are experiencing life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, we've received a very rich heritage from our Anabaptist forefathers. It's not a perfect heritage, right? It's a messy heritage. It is. But I believe it's a rich heritage. And so, they taught that the way was more important than the destination. I think I can go there, right? The means does not justify the end, if you will. And so the way, it's that faithful journey that is really the only path to life. It's the journey that brings us to life. So I am the way, the truth, and the light. There's a word I hope you all know. We'll spend a little time on it. Gelassenheit, right? It's a German word. And it's a term that's often associated with Menno Simons. He talked about this a lot. And I come from more of the Swiss Brethren, Anabaptist heritage than the Dutch. But Menno Simons, of course, is very influential. And that's why we're called Mennonites. So this word can be translated as yieldedness or letting go, calmness. And for Menno Simons, to him, it represented a commitment to living a life of surrender to God's will, and rather than asserting one's own will and own ideas and desires. He believed that Gelassenheit was a central aspect of Christian discipleship and that it should be reflected in all areas of life, including personal relationships, economic practices, and political engagement. This is all inclusive. There's no exception to this. He saw it as the way of living out Jesus' teachings on, well, it was nonviolence, it was self-sacrifice, it was following Jesus' example of loving our enemies, serving others, and instead of seeking power, seeking wealth, was Menno Simons also emphasized humility and simplicity, I believe, in lifestyle and living. So the focus is a serene yieldedness, a calmness, a letting go in our life and service to God. Yieldedness to God's will is interwoven into the very fabric of the Anabaptist DNA, I believe. So the question is, how tightly are we holding on to our lives, our families, our possessions, our businesses, our mission, is there anything we're holding on to too tightly and have not yielded to God? So that's Gelassenheit. And then there's another word we want to look at today. And we're going to switch from German to Hebrew. So Avoda is a Hebrew word. And this word has become more meaningful to me lately. And it means work or labor. And so it can refer to any kind of work or labor, whether it's physical or mental. But in the Jewish culture, there's a connotation, and there's a little more to it than just simply work. The term is often used in the context of religious or spiritual service to God. So it's often used very specifically to our work for God. I think both Gelassenheit and Avoda, they kind of lack an English word that captures the connotation, the meaning behind it. But I think it's really good to understand. It's important to understand and grasp. In order to understand the way of Jesus, to understand the way, we need to understand what's behind these two words and the meanings in these two words. This is a serene yieldedness to the work, service, worship that God calls each of us to, right? So let's look at this in the Bible. There's a few, quite a few places where this word is used in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament. We'll look at a couple of those. And the first one, well, this verse here. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That's Genesis 2:15. The word dress is the word avoda. That's the second place that it's used. The first place is in Genesis 2:5, just 10 verses prior. It says, after God rested on the seventh day, we have all laid out the 6 days of creation. God rested on the seventh day. And then it goes in Genesis 2. I'll just read some scripture here. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. The word till is the word avoda. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So I read that and just point out the word till. There was not a man to till the ground. So there was a key element missing in God's creation, wasn't there? It says there was something missing here. There was no one to work or till the ground. And so the Lord God made man. And so we can infer, deduce that man was created to work, right? We are here. We have a purpose. And a big part of that purpose is work. It's avoda. The first action God took, as we read through that, the first action God took was to put man into the garden to work it. And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And I should have copied the next verse or two, because I think it goes into detail of how he put the mandate he gave Adam in the garden. But avoda, like I said, is more than work. It is interpreted as serve. I don't know if you can read that from back there, but in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, it's actually interpreted serve in the King James 227 times. It's not interpreted as work. It's actually interpreted as serve. And then to do and to till and be a servant. It talks about work and worshipers, service. It's interpreted many different ways. And so, out of 290 times in the Old Testament, it's interpreted 227 times as serve. So let's look at Deuteronomy 10 and 12, and I'll read 13. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve, avoda, the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. That's Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13. So what are we to do? We're to walk, we're to love, and we're to serve. And serve with all our heart and with all our soul. This is what we're called to do. Another verse Psalm 72, 11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. So we have, again, the expectation that everyone, even kings, will serve. They will express avoda. Here we can clearly see how avoda carries the connotation of work, worship, and service. These kings will worship. They're falling down. They're worshiping, and they're serving the King of Kings. Okay, and here, 2 Kings 10:19. Again, we have avoda used twice. I've highlighted first as servants, and then again as worshipers. So we see here, worshipers of Baal. Call now, therefore, call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests, and none be wanting, for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. Their avoda is clearly interpreted as worshipers. So let's look a little bit at the Jewish tradition and how this is applied and used in the Jewish tradition even today. And it continues to be an important concept among the Jews, the term avoda. In the Old Testament, of course, it's closely connected to the idea of service to God and to others, and is often associated with the idea of living a life of meaning and purpose. So it's above myself, it's beyond myself, it's serving God. And in Judaism today, it's often associated with the concept, and I can't pronounce this, but Tikkun Olam, I don't know, I'll say it that way, which means repairing the world. According to this concept, every person has a responsibility to contribute to the betterment of society through their avoda or work. So, as we know, many Jews are atheists, actually, but they still hold to some of these, you know, and they've secularized this, and it's more about betterment of the world, but it's still in their tradition. Avoda can refer to the service of God, which includes prayer, study, and acts of kindness. The term is also used to refer to the work of the priests in the temple in ancient times as they performed various rituals and sacrifices. So again, this concept tied very closely to the service of God. But in a more contemporary context, it's less spiritual. It's more repairing the world and making things better. So when we work, worship, and serve others as a service to God, it's avoda. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Gelassenheit is a serene yieldedness, calmness, a letting go. And avoda is work, worship, and service. The way of Jesus, the truth, and the life. It's a serene yieldedness to the work, service, worship that God calls us to. Ezekiel 20, verse 40 says, For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them. The word serve, again, is the interpretation of the word avoda. And God is looking to a time when everyone will come and bow before him and serve him. And it's that service, through that service, that he will then accept them. And so, again, we were made for avoda, and it is what God is looking for from our lives. So I trust you can personally identify with this approach to work and service to life. God is building his kingdom in amazing ways, and Heralds of Hope, I think, is a tool, as was shared, in that. We need to remember that every breath is his, that there is only one way. There's only one focus. There's only one kingdom. There's only one God, and it's all His. So I'd be interested in hearing from you. This isn't a new thing. Maybe you want to share a personal experience. Where have you seen a VODA at work? How can this interplay? And I love some interaction at that level. How has it exemplified work, worship, and service to God? How do you make this practical in your everyday life? Didn't give you a heads up on that one, did I? Yeah.
I have just more comment. The idea of serene yieldedness. I'm sure we all here have responsibilities, community responsibilities, whether it's our work or our families or whatnot. And while I do my best to yield to those responsibilities, it's not always serene.
It's not always serene.
The idea of calmly giving up our self and our, you know, the idea of how much something for me and serving to do it with the right mindset. I really like that idea. So,
there was essence of Gelassenheit. Just letting go, serene. And we can only do that because we know who's sovereign, right? He allows bad things to happen. We live in a messy world, sin, sickness, and sadness, right? And all of that, we're called to sereneness, blossoming. Appreciate that. Ben, is that right? Others? Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for your attention. Again, I hope it was just an encouragement in your walk with the Lord and where He's called you to. And, you know, we talk about work-life balance and all of this. The fact is, I think it's just all the same. So sometimes we need intentional imbalance in certain parts of life. And we just have to have all of that directed by God's Spirit and leading in us. So God bless each one of you. That's what I have here. And I appreciate your attention this morning. I'll turn it back to Heralds of Hope. God bless.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to learn more about Heralds of Hope or our strategic partner breakfasts, visit us online at heraldsofhope.org. That's HERALDS of hope.org. Or give us a call at 1-866-960-0292. Or email us at hope@heraldsofhope.org. And until we meet again, may your work, worship, and service be given to Jesus Christ, our living hope.